It is good to give thanks. Amen?
Amen.
You know what's amazing, though? Sometimes it's difficult. I don't know if y'all ever have this problem, but sometimes it's hard to show how thankful we are. You know, from the very earliest on, as we were growing up, our mothers always taught us that if someone gives you something, you're supposed to say,
thank you.
That's right. That's kind of ingrained within us. But yet, I don't know how many times I encounter people, and I'm one of those, that has a hard time just saying thank you. That we feel like that we want to do more. That we feel like that a simple thank you is not enough. I don't know if you ever felt that way. I came across a story. It's an old story. I came across a story this week. But it's about a famous golfer who was invited by this sheik in Saudi Arabia to come over and spend a few days and play golf with him. Well, he decided he would take the sheik up on his offer. So the sheik brought him his private jet, flew him to Saudi Arabia, put him up in one of his palaces, and they spent a few days playing golf. And the golfer was about to come back home, and the sheik says, "Listen, I want to thank you so much for coming and spending these few days that I would like to give you a present. So what type of present could I give you?" Now, the golfer, of course, was going, "Oh, you don't have to give me anything. You flew me over here in your jet. I got to stay at one of your palaces. Had a great few days of playing golf. That was enough." But the sheik says, No, I want to give you something. What can I give you?" And so the golfer thought for a moment. He says, "Well, if you insist on giving me something, then I guess I could always use a new golf club if you want to give me a golf club." And so the sheik says, "You got it. I'll have it to you in a few days." And so on the way home, the golfer began to think. He says, "I wonder what kind of golf club I'm going to get. Maybe it's going to be a golden putter that I can impress all my friends with. Or maybe it'd be a new driver that's encrusted with diamonds and rubies." And his mind began to go crazy, wondering what it is that he would get. Well, a few days passed, and he still hadn't received anything. And he began to wonder what that meant. But then he got this letter. And he opened up this certified letter. He knows it's from the guy from Saudi Arabia. And it simply says that the letter, and it was a recorded deed for a 500-acre country and golf club. Now, how do you say thank you to a gift like that? How do you say thank you to something that is so over the top, so extravagant, so generous, that there's no words you could possibly say to respond with that type of gift? You know, isn't it amazing when we talk about the love that God has for us? It's almost that response. It's how do you respond to a God with such a generous heart that our God has? And that's our dilemma. And when Moses was trying to instruct the people of Israel how to be able to set up what it means to worship their God, part of that included on how to say thank you to a God. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at God's generous heart, and then how do we respond to that heart. So let me invite you to take your Bibles, and we're going to open up to Deuteronomy. That's an Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 26, and we're going to read together verses 1 through 11. Let me invite you to stand with me. My version, I'm reading out of the New International Version, so it may be a little bit different than yours. "Now, when you've entered the land the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land and the Lord your God has given you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at that time, 'I declare today to the Lord your God that I've come to the land The Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you should declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the baskets before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated this morning. You may know the old saying, God is good
all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good. Let's try that again. God is good
all the time.
Scripture that talks about the goodness of God, that talks about God's generosity. In fact, in Romans, it says that God richly blesses all who call on him. In Old Testament, it says God's love and compassion are new every morning. They never get stale or run out. In Matthew, it says God loves to give good gifts to his children when they ask. In Titus, it says God gives us his Holy Spirit without limit. In 1 Timothy, it says God richly provides us everything for our enjoyment. In James, it says God gives us wisdom generously if we ask for it. In 1 John, God lavishes his love on us, thus making us and confirming us as his children. In Ephesians, it says God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And God lavishes his grace upon us, and in doing so brings us into a right relationship with God. See, our God is a generous God. And we got to understand that, because how we view God, I told you before, how we view God is going to shape how we read his scripture, how we read his word, how we're going to view his relationship with us, and what we consider and what we think about sin and judgment and how we treat each other. Because see, there's two different views of God. Some people look at God as this God who's waiting to judge us one day. How many of us have grown up saying, you better fear the wrath of God? Because someday you're going to stand before our God, and he's going to look in the book of life, and he's going to see all that you've done, and he's going to judge you for it. Now, I remember hearing that, and in my mind, that was not good news. Because I knew what I'd been doing. And to stand before God, I can tell you everything you've done. It's like, uh-oh. Right? It's worse than standing before your mama and your daddy when you were little. But see, if that's the type of God that we have, then it's going to shame us. But what if there's another view of God? What if there's a view of God in which God says, yes, I am holy. And yes, I'm to be feared, but not fear as we understood it, but fear as in that we see the allness when we look at God. We see how incredible, magnificent he is. We see how holy he is, and we realize that we don't measure up. If we see that, but we also understand that there's a God who loves us so much, so that when he tells us to do this or don't do that, it's because it's not coming from this idea that he wants us to fear him, to be afraid of him, but really it comes from this idea
is that He only wants the best for us. And the best for us is for us to know how much He loves us. See, if that's our view of God, then it begins to shape who we are and how we respond. The generosity of God is overwhelming. And if you want to see God's generous heart, then you do not have to go any further than looking at His Son, Jesus Christ. Because in Him we see God's love. In Him we see God's generous heart, His generous nature. I mean, what is it we read when one of the first Bible verses we ever learned, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. But don't forget what's coming next. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. He did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. See, there's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference. And sometimes some of us have grown up thinking that all God is really waiting to do is to condemn us when we stand before Him. That is not His intent. That is not His desire. God's desire is for us to spend eternity with Him. And the only way we won't spend eternity with Him is the actions on our part, not His part. I was thinking a lot about God's generosity. And I began to think about people that we may know who are also generous in what they have. And I couldn't help but Bill Gates. Think of Bill Gates. You know, y'all know Bill Gates, Microsoft guy, right? Got more money than he even knows what to do with, so now he's just giving money away. I mean, billions of dollars that he's just giving away. Yeah. But it's interesting to see who he gives it to and who he will not give it to. I mean, he gives it away for cancer research. He gives it away for great causes, right? He does that. But he won't give it away to tech startups. He won't give it away to Apple. Of course, Apple, they don't need it anyways, right? In fact, if you look back at Bill Gates and while he was kind of leading Microsoft, you would discover that he was a shrewd businessman in a lot of ways. Because Microsoft will look at some of the up-and-coming tech companies, and instead of allowing them to grow to the place where they would kind of conflict with Microsoft, he would just buy them up. Netscape. Yeah. How many of y'all heard of Netscape? Yeah, some of you older ones have, right? You know why the younger people ever heard of Netscape? They're not around anymore. They're gone. He bought them. He just handed them. They're no more. So there wouldn't be a competition. See, the generosity of Bill Gates is limited. The generosity of our God is extended to all. Even to those of us who at one time says, God, I don't think I want to have anything to do with you. And God did not pick and choose. But when He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, as a reflection of His heart, He says, no, this is my Son for all. For all. For all, it doesn't matter what you've done. For all, it doesn't matter where you've been. For all, it doesn't even matter if you've been rebelling against me or not. I'm still giving you my Son, Jesus Christ, because I love you. And it doesn't matter what you think. That's the generosity of our God. The response of God is not to destroy, but to send us His Son. The response of our God is not to condemn, but to show us a new list, a new way of living. The response of our God is to create a way out of our failures, out of those destructive habits, out of the things that's keeping us from knowing His love, keeping us from being in relationship with one another. See, the generosity of our God is to help create in us this new I love the story of Jesus when he was going through the different towns and villages, and he came into one, and all of a sudden the religious leaders and the Pharisees came, and they had a woman with them. Many of you know the story. A woman who was caught in the act of adultery. And they kind of threw her down at Jesus' feet, and some of them were holding some rocks, some stones, and they looked at Jesus, and it says, Jesus, now what the law says, it says that anyone who is caught in the act of adultery, then we can stone her. And they looked at him and says, so what do you say? What do you say? I want you to hear the intent of that question. Because see, if God is simply a God of wrath, if God is simply a God that's just waiting for us to mess up so he can come and zap us, so he can send us to hell, so he can have nothing to do with us, then guess what? There's no hope for any of us. And that's what some of them were waiting for. What type of God is this guy going to be? But if there's a God who loves us and wants to help us out of those destructive habits, maybe there's another. What Jesus did when they came and they asked him, so what do you say? Do you remember the story? He knelt down and he began writing in the dirt. And he looked up and he says, now, if any of you is without sin, then go ahead and pick up a stone and be the first one to throw it. And then he starts writing some more. I wish I knew what he was writing. Because I got a real good idea. Y'all know it too. He was writing down everybody else's sin, wasn't he? Right? Okay, here's the girl, you're a thief. Yeah, you're kind of good at adultery stuff too. You just didn't want to know. And he kept writing down, and each person began to see what he was writing down. They got up and they walked away. And soon there was no one left except for Jesus and this woman. And he looked at her and says, woman, where'd they all go? Is there no one left here to condemn you? Then as he lifts down her hands and picks her up, he says, then neither do I condemn you. Now go and leave your life of sin. The intent of our God is not to condemn us. The intent of our God is to help us to see a better way to experience a new life. And God knew that the only way that we could ever experience that new life was be through the death and the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. Because there's a lot of times we look at ourselves and the only thing we can see are those past events. The only thing we can see are the things that were written in the dirt that day that Jesus was writing. And we think that that defines who we are. But let's not forget what Paul told the church in Ephesus when he says that we were dead in our transgressions and sins. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive in Christ. Folks, we are meant to be alive. And out of God's generous heart, he gave us his son, Jesus Christ, so we can experience that new life. For those of us who are not a people, now we're the people of God. For those of us who are trapped in our bondage and sin and death, we've now been delivered into abundance of life and his blessing. For those of us who were once struggling, we're now partakers in his resurrection. That is available because of God's generous heart. So now we come back to the question that we started off with. How do we respond to someone who is that generous? How do we respond to God's generous heart? I love this passage in Deuteronomy because in a way it was Moses trying to give an idea of this is how you respond. And what he says is, listen, now when you come into the promised land, you will be settled, you will start growing things, and when you start growing things, what I want you to do, I want you to get a basket, and I want you to go and pick a portion of the first fruits. And the first fruits is the very best. And so you get the fruits, you get the vegetables, and that's where our idea of a tithe comes from, that 10% of the very best. He says, so you get your basket, and then you take it to the place where I will be. And you give it to the priest. And this is what I love. He says, now when you give it to the priest, I want you to start saying and telling the story of a God who was so generous that he delivered the people. Of a God who was with them for those 40 years in the wilderness. Of a God who provided what they would need. He says, give to the priest your basket and then say this. I love that. I love that. Because isn't that what our tithes and offerings is for? Isn't that what our life is supposed to be a reflection of? A reflection of God's generosity? And so now when that offering plate comes by, then you're saying, oh God, I'm thanking you because of all that you've done in my life, the way you're with me, the way you led me through this time of trial, the way you delivered me from this type of bondage, the way that I was almost dead, and yet you came and you rescued me. And we give out of a response for that. Man, that's awesome. Yeah. Can I ask you an honest question? When we give, is that what you do? Or do you take the bulletin and open it up to the page and you start reading our faithfulness to the 2019 general fund budget? Hey, we did pretty good last week. I don't have to give as much this week. We're a little bit behind. I better give a little bit more. I'm not saying we do it, but sometimes we get caught up and you know, can't be wrong. But we don't always reflect the generosity of our God. See, I love this story by Moses. Because he says, this is how we respond. And we respond to God's generous heart by us developing a generous heart. And the only way that we can have the heart of God is when we accept God's Son into our life. Because we realize that's the biggest gift that he could ever provide for us. And when we accept Christ and we begin to understand his generosity, then we respond to his love, to his grace, to all that he's given us. Yes, we do it through our tithes and offerings, but we also do it through our lives. I love the story of four Bible college guys. They were rooming together while they were in school. They had a little apartment, and one day there was a knock on their door. They went and answered it, and there standing before them was this, and they guessed it was a homeless guy. His clothes were torn, they were ragged, and his eyes were looking kind of glassed over. He looked down, and he had some holy shoes on, and that's not a good way. They just put shoes with holes in them. No socks. But he knows that both his shoes should only fit on his right foot instead of on each foot. And he was holding a basket. A basket full of vegetables. And he wanted to know if they wanted to buy any vegetables. So they kind of felt sorry for him. They kind of looked at the basket. And none of the vegetables really looked that edible. But they bought some anyways. He thanked them. He went on. They went through the vegetables. They threw the vegetables away. Didn't think anything more about it until the next Saturday. There was a knock on the door. They opened the door, and here's this guy again, wearing the same clothes he had on play Christian hymns on a harmonica. So the next week when he came back again, they would sit around and he would pull out his harmonica and they would sing songs together. They began to have this heart for this man and began to try to figure out what they could do. And they knew immediately what they could do because he needed some clothes. So they got some clothes together and he kind of snuck over and put it where he was standing. Well, the next Saturday, there was a knock on the door, and of course he came in. And he looked at him and says, "Y'all, God is so good." They said, "Oh, yeah, he is." He looks at him and says, "You want to know why God is so good?" And they said, "Tell us, why is God so good?" He says, "This morning I got up, I went to the door, I opened the door, and there was a box of clothes, shoes. I mean, it was wonderful." And they said, "Oh, God is good." They kind of looked at each other, smiling. "There's what you did." He said, "You want to know why else God is so good?" They said, "Why else is God so good?" He says, "Because I went out, and as I was out trying to sell my vegetables, I came across a family. A family who needed everything that I had in that box. So I ran back to my house, I got that box, I went and gave them everything that I had. God is so good." See, there's something that happens when we capture the generosity of our God. When we begin to understand the love that he has for us. The love that does not seek to condemn, but the love that only wants the best for us. The love that was shown when he gave us his Son, Jesus Christ, who died and rose again so that we can have new life. A generous life. And when we begin to capture that heart, the generosity that's in our God, then it begins to change us. And folks, there's times that the only thing we can do when we've been shown that much love, when we've been shown that much generosity, is say thank you and accept the gift. And that's what it means when we say, "God, I accept the gift that you gave me in your Son." When we allow Christ to come in, he begins to change us. He begins to transform us. He begins to make a new life. And soon this heart, the generosity that's in our God, that same heart begins to grow in our lives. And we find ourselves being generous. Because our God is generous. And we just love him. Heart and soul. Because that's the love he has for us. Amen.
Amen.
Let me pray for us this morning. Yes. Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for the love that so many ways we just cannot say thank you enough. But the way we can say thank you to allowing you within our lives, within our hearts, to begin to shape, to recreate us into the people that you desire us to be. So, Father, help us. Help us to have a heart that matches your heart. Help us to see people the way that you see people. Help us to respond in the way that you respond. Help us not to seek to condemn, but to love enough. To love enough that will point for someone to be restored to you. So use us. Use us as we love you with our heart and with our soul. Which in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing our hymn of discipleship, number 378, Amazing Grace. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
and let Kelly videotape that, that would be wonderful. If you got to go, I completely understand. But now, Father, we have been graced to be in your presence. We thank you for the love that you showed us, for your generous heart in giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, by pouring your Holy Spirit within us. Now we ask that you will send us out. The generous heart that we've discovered in you, let that generous heart be in us, so that this world can see your love. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen.